Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. And the concept for today's episode is songs from the 80s by bands who built their career in the 70s. So basically, I'm going to play you some of my favorite songs from the 80s by bands mostly known for what they did in the 70s. Game was album number 8 for Queen and came out in June of 1980. This record is mostly known for the hits Crazy Little Thing Called Love and Another One Bites the Dust, and the great ballads Play the Game and Save Me. But two of my favorite Queen songs are buried on this record. A great power pop song, which we just heard, written by bassist John Deacon, called Need Your Loving Tonight, and a killer new wavy song written by drummer Roger Taylor called Coming Soon.
Thank you.
Blue Oyster Cult put out 6 great records in the 70s, but I also love a lot of what Blue Oyster Cult did in the 80s. They had a big hit in 1981 with Burnin' For You from Fire of Unknown Origin, but their 1983 album, The Revolution by Night, produced by Bruce Fairbairn, is also really good and opens with one of my very favorite Blue Oyster Cult songs, a song called Take Me Away, co-written by Aldo Nova. Another great Blue Oyster Cult song from the 80s is a song called Dancing in the Ruins from their 1985 album Club Ninja. Nazareth are a Scottish hard rock band formed all the way back in 1968. The band released 10 albums in the 70s and another 7 records in the 80s, including a very good album in 1981 called The Fool's Circle, which was produced by Jeff Skunk Baxter. Check out the opening track, Dressed to Kill.
We say our God is on our side. Oh, is this the two I saw?
Nazareth made a lot of good music in the 80s, production be damned. Here's another one I like a lot from their 1986 album Cinema, a song called One from the Heart.
Thank you.
Uriah Heep released 12 studio albums in the 70s and only 5 in the 80s. But their 1982 release, Abominog, has definitely become a cult classic. Uriah Heep's 1983 follow-up to Abominog, Head First, was a less heavy, more commercial undertaking, but they were still fronted by Pete Golby, and the songs are just as good as the songs on Abominog, in my opinion. Check out Red Lights from Head First by Uriah Heep. Uriah Heep made one more album with Pete Golby in the 80s, a record called Conquest that came out in 1985. Here's a cool song from that record called Holding On.
Lost like a precious flame, the ashes burn on, the ghost of a love we had tries to hold on. Tries to hold on. Yeah.
Thin Lizzy released three albums in the 80s, but they don't seem to get very much attention. Guitarist Gary Moore had left after Black Rose and was replaced by Snowy White for two quality albums, Chinatown in 1980, and then an album in 1981 called Renegade, which is just as good as Chinatown, maybe better. Here's a great song from Renegade by Thin Lizzy called No One Told Him.
He listened closely. Listen while I tell you why he loves you and why he misses mostly. It's pointless, it's pretending. He's got a broken heart, a broken heart that needs mending. You didn't tell him, you didn't want to see him again. You didn't tell him, you didn't want to see him again. He's gone crazy, he's reckless. Without you, baby, he's helpless. It's deadly how you broke him. He's a fool without you, baby. I'm not joking. You didn't tell him, you didn't want to see him again. You didn't tell him, you didn't want to see him again. No one told him, you didn't want to see him again. You didn't tell him, you didn't want to see him again.
Michael Schenker left UFO after 1978's Obsession and was replaced by Paul Chapman for a series of very good albums in the early 80s. Check out the title track from UFO's 1981 album, The Wild, The Willing, and The Innocent. The Ramones' first four classic albums came out in the 70s, and those are absolutely essential. But the Ramones had a lot of great songs in the 80s. I'm not a huge fan of the Phil Spector-produced End of the Century from 1980, but 1981's Pleasant Dreams is a pretty good album. The KKK Took My Baby Away is brilliant. 1983's Subterranean Jungle is probably my favorite Ramones record from the 80s. Dee Dee's Outsider is awesome, and Joey's My Kind of Girl. But the song I picked to play on this episode to represent the Ramones in the 80s is a song from their 1984 album Too Tough to Die, which was produced by the band's former drummer, Tommy. This is a song written by Joey and Daniel Ray, who was in the band Shrapnel and later in Manitoba's Wild Kingdom. This is a song called Daytime Dilemma. Cheap Trick, of course, released four classic studio albums in the 70s and the iconic At Budokan Live record. But the band also made some tremendous records in the 80s, especially One on One, Next Position Please, and Standing on the Edge. They made their big comeback in 1988 with Lap of Luxury and the number one single, The Flame. But my favorite song from that record is the first song, a brilliant piece of work called Let Go. Nick Gilder fronted Canadian glam rockers Sweeney Todd for one album in 1975. Then he moved to the United States and released three great solo albums in the 70s, even scoring a number one hit with Hot Child in the City. But in 1980, Nick Gilder released an album on Casablanca Records called Rock America, which includes a song I really love called I've Got Your Number. Alice Cooper released 10 albums in the 70s and then took several strange detours with his first four albums in the 80s. But in 1986, he reinvented himself yet again with a straight-ahead heavy metal record called Constrictor.
I thought the
Aerosmith released 6 records in the 70s, mostly great, but especially albums 2 and 4. But I'm not a huge fan of most of the material that comprised the 4 records, yep, only 4, that they released in the 80s. In fact, one of my favorite Aerosmith songs from the 80s was actually the B-side to the Love in an Elevator single, a song called Ain't Enough.
Ain't enough. I think it always still ain't enough. Ain't enough. I got to have.
Ted Nugent had a long career before reaching the 80s. All of his work with the Amboy Dukes and also his five successful solo records between 1975 and 1979. But my personal favorite Ted Nugent album came out in 1980. It's an insane record called Scream Dream. Check out Flesh and Blood.
Thank you.
In 1984, Ted Nugent released an album called Penetrator, his only record with vocalist Brian Howe. Here's a song from that record, which was written by Brian Adams and Jim Vallance, a song called Where Do You Draw the Line?
I've been accused of jealousy. Well, you've been running around to think that I trusted you and you let me down.
So after working with Ted Nugent, Brian Howe went on to replace Paul Rodgers in Bad Company. And honestly, I don't really like Bad Company with Paul Rodgers. I really just don't like the band. But I do like some of the Brian Howe era stuff. His first record with the group, Fame and Fortune, was all right, but there's a really good song on there called Valerie.
So young, and now I wonder where you are.
Bad Company's second record with Brian Howe, Dangerous Age from 1988, is a pretty solid album. I would call it the best Bad Company album, but for me that isn't saying much, but it's a good record. Sparks were a band that evolved quickly over the course of the 70s. Beginning as a quirky American rock band formed by two sets of brothers, then they morphed into a quirky British glam rock group, then they became a quirky pop group, eventually produced by Giorgio Moroder. The band's 1983 album Angst in My Pants is great stuff. Here's the first song on side two, a song called Mustache. We'll be right back. Another favorite Sparks song of mine from the 80s is from their 1983 album In Outer Space, which featured the minor hit Cool Places. This is a song by Sparks I like a lot called Popularity. David Bowie released 11 albums in the 70s and kicked off the 80s with a very cool record called Scary Monsters. Here's my favorite song from that album, a song called Up the Hill Backwards.
Possibilities. It's
Black Sabbath released 8 revolutionary heavy rock records in the 70s, but they entered the 80s minus their frontman, Ozzy Osbourne. Yet the band's first 2 records in the 80s, with Ronnie James Dio at the helm, are absolute classics of the hard rock, heavy metal genre. Then in 83, they released a very odd record with Ian Gillan called Born Again. In 86 came The Seventh Star, a cool pop metal record with Glenn Hughes, which was really just supposed to be a Tony Iommi solo album. Then in 1987, a new version of Black Sabbath emerged, fronted by Tony Martin. That version of Sabbath's second album, The Headless Cross from 1988, is pretty good stuff. Check out Devil and Daughter. We'll be right back.
rock group AC/DC was found dead last night in a parked car in South London. Scotland Yard said the body of 30-year-old Bon Scott was discovered by a friend who had left him in the car hours earlier to sober up after a day's drinking. We talked to Rick Davies of Capital Radio in London, and he filed this report.
The friend who discovered Scott being unconscious, Alistair Kinnear, said that he met up with Bon to go to a music club in London, the Music Machine, last night, but he was pretty drunk when I picked him up. Then Scott apparently got there and they drank several more whiskeys. Scott's known for having been a heavy drinker, and also in 1973, when he was still in Australia, he was forced to stop singing for a while because of his drug problems. So yes, the suspicions are that this was the result of some heavy drinking.
And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Bon Scott only made it 50 days into the decade of the 80s. He died on February 19th, 1980. But by April, AC/DC were back in the studio recording with new singer Brian Johnson. AC/DC released 5 studio albums in the decade of the 80s. And while I like the Bon Scott era material far, far more, I do like a lot of AC/DC's songs from the 80s. One of the more maligned AC/DC albums of the decade is probably Fly on the Wall from 1985, but there are some great songs on that record, including Shake the Foundations and Sink the Pink, both of which were also included on Who Made Who, AC/DC's 1986 soundtrack to the Stephen King-directed film Maximum Overdrive. But I'm going to leave you with the title track from that 1985 AC/DC album, Fly on the Wall. Till next time.
Yeah.
be back.